Church Lake Town and Country Board. On this March 11, 2026, 6 p.m., items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to any item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners Zoning Commission, BCC, or the Clark County Planning Commission, PC, for final action. Please turn off or mute all cell phones and any other electronic devices. Please take all private conversations outside the room. With a 48-hour advance request, a sign language interpreter, or other reasonable efforts to accommodate persons with physical disabilities may be made available by calling 702-455-3530. Supporting material to board members for this meeting may be requested from Kathleen Hickman at 702-298-0828. Supporting material will also be available at the Clark County Department of Administrative Services, 500 South Grand Central Parkway, 6th floor, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89155. Supporting material also available on the county's website at clarkcountynv.gov/searchlight tab. And the meeting will also have an audio recording available on the Clark County website, as well as a video recording that will be placed on YouTube, and you can search for Searchlight Town Advisory Board on YouTube. Board members, James Allen, Chair, Natalie Jeter, Vice Chair, Kayla McGinnis, Donna Moore, Kyle Myers, Kathleen Hickman is our Secretary, County Liaison, Mark Moskowitz. Meeting is called to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Roll call, James Allen, present. Natalie Jeter.
Present.
Kayla McGinnis.
Present.
Donna Moore, absent. Kyle Myers, absent. Public comment, this is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the podium, the speaker's podium, if applicable. Clearly state your name, address, and spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Approval of minutes for February 11, 2026. Do I have a motion on that item?
I'll motion.
And a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
No opposed? Approval for the agenda for March 11, 2026. Hold, combine, or delete any items. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll motion.
Second?
I'll second.
All approve?
Aye.
Aye. No opposed? Informational items. Just as a reminder, please be courteous to all of our speakers tonight with their informational items. Most of them, if not all of them, are coming here with now no extra pay, volunteering their own time. So please be respectful. If you have to make comments, questions, please come to the podium and use the microphone up there. Thank you. First item, receive a report and updates from the South County Liaison Mark Moskowitz on the SAP 18 Searchlight Project, movie in the park scheduled for March 13th, and any other updates from Clark County.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to give a quick update. The ZAP 18 Searchlight Project, it's a public art project. It should be kicking off this month in March. You'll notice some of the utility boxes around town will start to be painted with some nice murals. So if you see it, you don't have to call Metro. Metro is aware of everything that's going on. We've coordinated with Lieutenant Rogers to let him know the artists, who they are, and the contact number. But if you do see anything that's funky or something that's not supposed to be drawn on the boxes, let us know and we'll fix it. But look for that. I'll have more information probably next month or the following month, but it's going to be nice. Several of the utility boxes throughout town will be getting painted. And it does help when they're painted to deter graffiti. So we're hoping to see a lot of that happen. I know there are a few that do have graffiti on them, but that'll be covered up and or removed and then covered up. So we're really excited. It was a big, thorough process. Lots of artists submitted. There's several jury members that reviewed it all, so it's going to be a nice addition to the community. So we're looking forward to that, hopefully beginning this month, but I'll let you know if anything changes or any updates. So the other fun update, we're very excited, on Friday is going to be Movie in the Park. We're bringing them back. It's going to be Friday, March 13th at 6 p.m. at the Searchlight Town Park. So we're showing How to Train Your Dragon. It's going to be awesome. There's a flyer in the back and there's a poster board. We'll have some complimentary popcorn, water bottles, some bubbles, a few blankets that we can give out, one per family. So please come. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking to bring more of these programs. So we're hoping to get a good turnout for this one. And then we're hoping to do it hopefully every month, but we'll figure out how to do it. But we're really excited to have it. We did it in Laughlin last Friday. It was a really good success, so I'm excited to do it. I know a lot of people have heard about it, so let your neighbors know. Come and have a good time. 6 p.m. on the 13th, we'll have it. It'll be on the basketball court, so come there and have some fun and grab some popcorn. So looking forward. Commissioner Knapp was really excited to host it and have everyone come out for it. So we'll see you then. Thanks. Those are all my updates.
Thank you, Mark. Next information.
We got one question.
I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead, Michelle.
Michelle Brown, just a comment on the art project. If you go out back here, two of the electrical boxes are already being painted.
Oh, good.
So you can kind of see what's going to go on to it. It's really neat looking.
It's nice.
Thank you. Receive a report from Metro Police regarding police activity and other statistics during the past month and other areas of crime concerns.
February 2026, we're going to have 32 calls for service. February 2025, last year, was 18. So it's going to be a 78% increase. And January of 2026 of this year is going to be 29. So a little bit of an increase in February. Our traffic citations are 3. DUIs we have are 0. Battery domestic violent arrests is going to be 1, which is going to be 1 adult, 0 juveniles. Bookings, we have adult arrest is 2. Juvenile arrest is going to be 0. And juvenile citations are 0. I'll break down some of the calls for service. For terribles, we have 8 for February, which is a 25% increase. And that's going to be for an auto burglary report taken. Reported of a drunk driver, Nevada Highway Patrol handle. Thank you, sir. Business requested, it's going to be 3 trespass, where the 3 times by the time we got here, everyone was gone. A subject panhandling, subjects left without incident. Alleged domestic dispute, male and female contacted, no enforcement action taken. A welfare check on a female requesting a tow. FEMA was contacted and assisted help. And at the BV Motel, we have one alleged assault where a report was taken. Anyone have any questions? Go once. Go twice.
Okay.
All right. I have a question.
Come to the podium, please. Can you get to the podium?
Hi, everybody. Also a new face. My name is Ashava Walden. I have a question for you, sir. There is an increase of 77.78% here on your calls for service. And why is that? Because I was at the Laughlin yesterday, and it was a decrease. I know you're new. No pressure. But no pressure. Are you able to explain that to us?
Let me take the helm for you.
Thank you.
Put this back so I dropped it. So with the increase, it legitimately could be for anything. A lot of times it could be for neighbors seeing something. It could be an argument between people. It could be someone stranded on the side of the road that called in the area. So the increase really could be for legitimately anything. When it comes to calls for service, it's not something that we could obviously control. Whether it's an increase or a decrease, whenever someone calls, we show up, we handle it as we can handle it, and we take the proper enforcement action as we can. So calls for services, it could be a good thing to where people are wanting more police contact because they're wanting us to help out on this or help out on that. So it could be a multitude of things, whether, again, it's an increase or a decrease. Anything else?
Any other questions from the board? Nope. All right, thank you.
All right, is that a good answer?
Yes, thank you.
You guys have a good one. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next informational item, receive report from Sergeant Tim Waller, Nevada Highway Patrol, regarding activity and statistics during the last month and other public safety concerns.
Good evening, Sergeant Tim Waller, Nevada Highway Patrol for Sergeant Laughlin. For last month, February, we conducted 464 traffic stops, issued 350 citations. We investigated 4 crashes, we had 2 arrests, and with our other miscellaneous calls, motorist assist, we had 528 contacts with the public. I'll just note, too, that you've probably seen the construction start back up for the second phase of the repaving. That is going to go through the 1st of June for the paving, and then 4 to 6 weeks after that, they'll be doing the rumble strips, the restriping, and some of the signage is going to change, so you can expect that for at least the next 4 months. So I know there's been some complaints on the way they're posting speed limits and the structure of the construction zone, and I have spoke to the foreman out there for Las Vegas paving, and they're going to do a little better job this time. So hopefully that'll make it a little easier for people to travel back and forth to kind of know when they're in the construction zone and what the speed limits are. So, any questions?
Any questions from the board?
No. Right, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next item, receive a report from Melissa Vandruff with Justice Court regarding statistics and other activities during the past month.
Melissa Vandruff, Searchlight Justice Court. For the month of February, we processed 161 civil citations, 60 traffic misdemeanor citations, and there were 4-6 probable causes. Any questions?
Any questions from the board? Thank you. Next informational item, receive a report from Las Vegas Valley Water District regarding the status of the water system.
Hi, Kathleen Flanagan and Eric Campbell, Las Vegas Valley Water District. Water use for February 2025 was 2.55 million gallons. Water use for February 2026 was 2.82 million gallons, which is an increase of 270,000 gallons this year.
Another thing I wanted to mention, I mentioned a little bit ago that we were having our asset management group come out and do some leak detection here in Searchlight. So they have been conducting it. During their survey, they've actually already found 2 leaking fire hydrants, 2 service line leaks, and they actually found a leak on a 2-inch main that was off of a roadway. Those have all been fixed already, so we're kind of looking forward to seeing a reduction in some of that water that's getting pumped out. So, and they have not quite finished yet, so they you might still see their trucks come down and check.
All right, thank you. Any questions from the public? Questions from the board? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Next informational item, received report from Clark County Water Reclamation District regarding the status of the wastewater and water usage system.
So for this, for February 2026, they treated an average of 39,000 gallons per day in comparison to an average of 48,000 gallons per day in 2025. That is an increase of 9,000 gallons per day from last year at this time. There were no sewer service complaints for the month of February, and there were no call before you dig searchlight tickets for February either. And if you look at the documents that have been provided, there's a chart with the rates and the facility expenses.
Okay, thank you, Natalie. Next informational item, receive a report from Principal Tracy Echeverria with the Searchlight School System regarding the status of programs and upcoming activities. Sorry if I butchered that name. Mrs. E?
I don't think you did.
Okay, good.
My name is Tracy Edgefield. I'm the proud principal of Green Elementary here in Searchlight. And thank you so much. I just have a couple of quick updates. We're really excited. We have a new webpage at our school. We've aligned our webpage to be with the rest of Clark County School District. And so I'll just give you the address real quick. It's harryreedes.ccsd.net. A much easier address than our previous webpage. And so if you get a chance to go there, we'd love any feedback, anything you think is missing or you'd like to have on the webpage, please let us know. We are also very excited to support the family movie night tomorrow, Friday night, excuse me. So we've been sharing that with our families and our kids are really excited, so you'll probably see several of them there. We have a McDonald's family night coming up on March 31st. McDonald's has been reaching out to schools all across Clark County. We have ours for on March 31st from 4 to 6, and so anybody who comes by, you'll see I'll be there and some of our other staff, and we get a portion of the proceeds from the evening. I think they also have a raffle, so it should be a really fun event from 4 to 6 on March 31st. At the school, we are continuing our partnership with 4-H and UNR Cooperative Extension. We were really excited about the great things that they bring to our school to enhance our after-school learning opportunities as well as supporting our science learning at the school. Let's see, we also are planning some field trips. We are hoping to have the students from Mitchell Elementary, the other school that I'm principal at, come down at the end of April, and then a couple days later have our students from Reed go up to Mitchell Elementary for field days. We like to keep that partnership that we have going. And then we have our end of the year family breakfast on May 21st, as we invite all of our families of our students to the school. We have breakfast, it's a new tradition we started last year, and we celebrate the leadership of our students. And this year we'll be taking a look at the boxes that we created at the beginning of the year to see how we met our goals, because setting our goals is a very important thing that we do at our school. And last night we had our family literacy night, and we had our families show up for that, and we all had a great time. We had our school organization team meeting, and we had our family literacy night activities where our kids worked with their families, and they made different creative projects with regard to reading. So those are the kinds of things that we have going on at Reed Elementary. Any questions?
Questions to the public?
Tracy, can you see the
website again?
Please?
Yeah, so it's Harry Reed, harryreedes.ccsd.net.
Thank you so much for helping with setting up the flyers and all that.
This oh, absolutely. That. Yeah, we're excited.
Tracy, I really appreciate you being so engaged with the community here. It really is wonderful that you're out here being so engaged.
It's my pleasure.
Next informational item, receive a report from Bureau of Land Management regarding Searchlight and the surrounding areas.
Good evening, I'm David Brennan. I'm the monument manager for BPMA National Monument.
James Boyle, I'm a lieutenant with the Bureau of Land Management's Law Enforcement Office.
We're requested to talk about dumping, so I'm going to let the LEO, who's actually very knowledgeable about dumping and information on that, speak on that. I'll talk more about the more fun side of the public lands management. So I want to thank anyone who came to our Junior Ranger Day. I know the last time I was here back in September, I announced a Junior Ranger Day, and then the government had a shutdown, and our Junior Ranger Day got canceled, and then we rescheduled it. And the government almost shut down again, but it did not this time, so we did have Junior Ranger Day. We did not get as many participants as we wanted, but everyone who did come had a great time, and we're going to try to make that an annual thing, get more of the local kids involved in it. It had multiple like representatives of BLM resources, geologists, botanists, archaeologists. It was a wonderful event. We're very happy with that. We want to do more, get as much with the community as we can. We've also been helping with that. We have the guided hikes going on, because you are in the middle of a beautiful landscape, and not everyone realizes it or knows all the different little hidden spots. I've now been like driving around working here now 2 years, and anytime Alan O'Neill sends me a new set of photos, I'm discovering a new beautiful spot and discovering a new appreciation for lichen. I didn't realize I liked lichen, but there's amazing lichen out in the Lucy Grays. If you have a chance to go out there, check out the lichen. It is a magnificent color right now, and it just makes you appreciate all these things a bit more. We have our first Saturday's events every month at Walking Box Ranch. First Saturday every month, different events going on. This last month we had Endow come down, did a reptile presentation, gave tours of the house. Good time. Next time is more of just a preparation day, doing a lot of like cleanups of the grounds, because we've been getting water, but we do not have very many staff, and that beautiful area is getting overgrown with a lot of weeds, so either we need to get goats or we need to get volunteers. I prefer goats, just because goats are so cool, but we're not. It's much harder to get goats organized than it is volunteers. Future goals. I have a lot of future goals. We're getting that all prepped up because the anniversary is coming up. Last year's anniversary was the big BioBlitz celebration. Of course, last year we had no rain, so the BioBlitz was a bit difficult. Nothing was really growing. This year there is rain. Everything's growing out there. But instead, we're doing a Vico Made Through History. Follow with the friends. We can talk more about that if you guys have any questions, since they're the ones really spearheading that. And those are our main things. We're also doing a lot of repairs out on Walking Box. We're trying to get all the signage up around the monument. And then if anyone wants to volunteer for anything, talk to me, talk to Paula, talk to Natalie, talk to James. There's a lot of people who are now representing the Friends Board here or who work for the BLM here. And we have a lot of events going on. If you're into carpentry, historical carpentry, we are rebuilding that barn from 1930. We're at the beginning portions of that, so that is a fun activity. We can have exciting parts of that. Depending on which kind of volunteer level you are, we can get you up on the roof, as long as you're not scared of heights, and as long as they fix the roof enough so that we can be on top of it. That's a question. James, talk about
that. All right, so I get to talk about the fun stuff. So again, my name is James. I'm a supervisor with the Bureau of Land Management's Law Enforcement Office. Since our office doesn't come to your meetings too often, one, that's a good thing because we typically try and interact with the communities where we are tracking lots and lots of problems. So with that being the case, I'll give you a 30-second introduction or reintroduction to what the BLM Rangers do. You've probably seen a BLM Ranger driving around. We drive a different car than Metro, a different car than NHP. We have different jurisdiction than either of those agencies do. So we're federal law enforcement. Our main focus is investigating and protecting our public lands for natural resource-based crimes or appropriate use of those public lands. So while we may assist with other more traditional things that you might think of a cop doing, our focus is going after the people that are abusing your public lands, our beautiful national monument we have down here. And so that's, if you see a BLM Ranger out passing through your community, they may be getting some fuel before going out to another remote site to look at something out there. Or they could be on their way to a DUI driver reported somewhere on public lands as well. So kind of a wide variety of things. So just kind of to give everyone a refresher, because I know we haven't been to this community for a little bit. Now, we were requested to come down and talk a little bit about some trash dumping, household goods and commercial goods dumping that's been reported in the general searchlight area. Some of these have been kind of historic that were recently reported, and others are more recent. Statistically, I think it's about 3 or 4 incidents since the beginning of the year. So that's not crazy, but it's still something that I was aware that you guys had some interest in and want to know what the process is when we get those reports. So, for starting off, how do we get these reports? you can contact the Bureau of Land Management. We have a phone number, I can give that out, and an email address. Our phone number is 702-293-8998. That's a 24-hour number. There's always someone that's going to answer that, and they will take your information and route it to an appropriate ranger at the appropriate time when we're on. And then we also have an email address, and that one's it's a little bit long, but that, we do work for the federal government, so it is blm_nv_snd_lawenforcement@blm.gov. It's on the side of my vehicle. You can take a photo. That's a great option. We created that account. We didn't get to pick the name, otherwise I would have made it much shorter. But it's kind of a hotline where if you as members of the community, obviously you're coming to this meeting, so you're the members of the community that are advocating for improvements and don't want to see negative things happening. So if you come across when you're out enjoying your public lands, if you come across a dump site or maybe some vandalism to a sign, you can either call that phone number and explain the information, or if you send an email to that account, you can take a photo and maybe email the GPS coordinates. That really helps us narrow down and get to the right place quicker. And like, especially a photo is great because then we're able to make an assessment before we show up to know, like, oh, do we need to send one ranger to take a report, or is this a major thing that we need to send some rangers and special agents and fly a drone to document the whole area. That's kind of the nitty-gritty on how to get a hold of us. If you have a life safety emergency, always call 911. And we may be the ones that show up. We do answer 911 calls. But for routine things, that phone number and website are the best way. All right, so as far as dumping goes, it is a federal offense to dump any property of yours on federal land. I would hope that goes without saying, but I have to just let you guys know that. And so we do investigate those crimes. Sometimes we're lucky, and the people doing it are not the smartest, and they leave their Amazon boxes with the address that they get their Amazons in that trash bag, and it's really easy to knock on the door and be like, hi, we found your stuff. Here's your ticket. Go clean it up, or we're going to give you a bigger fine. Because really our goal at the end of the day is to get these things cleaned up. If it's something like a vehicle that is, you're out driving around, you see a vehicle that car's been there for like a week. Definitely worth noting, right? And it might be worth giving us a call, just even though on federal land, you can leave a vehicle for up to 10 days before it's considered abandoned. That being said, we do, you know, like if you guys know your area really well, and if you see a car that's out of place out in the desert, it might be worth calling our dispatch because we'll check the license plate. It could be someone who was reported missing and in distress, or it could be a stolen vehicle, or just someone left their car out there for a long period. But once we reach a threshold where we can tow the vehicle, we do try and get those towed out quickly so that we don't turn this area into a parking lot. That kind of segues into how do we clean these dump sites up, and that's a multifaceted thing. The Southern Nevada District used to have a contract where we had a gentleman who would go out and do desert cleanup. That's been canceled currently for political reasons. We're hoping to get that back. It is one of those things where they just started cutting staff people before they realized, wait, we cut the guy who cleans the desert up. We should probably bring him back. So we're hoping to bring that program back. So in the meantime, if my officers take a report that you guys sent in of some sort of dumping, whatever it is, if it's not something that they can throw in the bed of their truck, they'll take photograph, GPS, and we'll send it to the local area manager. So for the searchlight area, it's going to be Aviquame National Monument. So we'll pass that information on to our civilian staff. They then figure out if they have the proper employees to clean it up. And why I say proper employees is some of these sites, and my officers are trained to recognize there could be hazardous materials. There could be needles from illicit drug use. You know, so there's reasons why these cleanups can become expensive. And then if it is a if it's something that's outside of the scope of our small staff of employees with the BLM, then we work on a cleanup contract. And so the reason I bring that up is because federal government contracts are not fast. And you as community members, you're like, I called those rangers a week ago, and we saw, and there's still that giant mound of garbage out there. Why haven't they cleaned it up? And unfortunately, like, it's just something that we weren't able to handle in the moment. And we're working on a contract, which could sometimes take a week to 3 to 4 months. As we know, the federal government's funding tends to ebb and flow quite a bit these days. So sometimes we're allowed to submit those contracts. Sometimes they get put on hold. So I think that kind of covers the general process with these illegal dump sites. Our best friend is Friendly Eyes looking. If you see someone doing that, if you can safely take a photo, I would never ask you to confront anybody. That's definitely not what we're looking for. But photos and vehicle descriptions give my officers a great avenue to start investigating, because we signed up to be rangers to protect our public lands. So these are the sorts of cases we want to do. Yes, if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer whatever. Yes, sir.
Is the BLM aware that our dump out here has been down to 4 hours a week now? That's from four days a week. So you're going to have a lot of dumping. It's already going on.
We were made aware of that, and
thank you.
Obviously, that's not in our control for that, but
you'll get a lot of phone calls.
I understand. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
What about someone who's camping out in BLM land?
Oh, for sure. That's a great question. So she's asking, what about someone camping on BLM land? So there's different rules on different BLM land. If you're at Red Rock, they have a specific campground they want people to camp at. Aviquemay doesn't have any specific restrictions to camping, so it defaults to the general BLM rules, which is, in Nevada, it's you can camp in one site for 14 days at a time, and then you're supposed to move as the crow flies 25 miles if you're going to just continue camping on public lands. The intent behind that is that we do not permit or want residing on public lands.
Yeah.
While they're camping on public lands, they are expected to keep their site clean. So if you see a group that is, they clearly trashed their site, like, we'll talk to them in that moment. Things we absolutely do not want to see are, like, some RVs, they'll unfortunately dump their human waste or do major improvements to the area. So any of that sort of things, we absolutely have an avenue to address.
Other questions from the public, from the board? Thank you, gentlemen, for coming out tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your time.
Next informational item, receive a report from Friends of Aviquemay regarding the status of programs and upcoming events.
Hi, I'm Paula Garrett. I'm with the Friends of Aviquemay. And Eamon mentioned the April 25th event, so that's going to be our anniversary event. It's a Aviquemay through time, so we're going to be talking about things back from the Pleistocene to ranching to mining to today. So come check us out. If you haven't been out to the ranch or haven't been out in a while, we have gotten some of the historic furniture back, so you'll get a chance to see that in place. So, and we're trying to get it to look the way it did during the 30s when Rex Bell and Clara Bow were there. Tonight I'm here, I'm going to ask you if you'd be interested in helping us with a project that we're working on. So there's a group called Dark Sky International, and they certify places around the world to be dark skies. And so there's certain criteria that you have to do to meet those to meet that, to be a, considered a dark sky. There's only 200 dark skies, around 200, in the world, and so we're hoping that Avikwame could be one of those sites. And so with that, we go out, and it's a two-year process, and we go out, we do light readings around Avikwame. We're partnering with the Las Vegas Astronomical Society, and then obviously with our with the BLM and the Park Service that help that manage this area. And our hope is to get people interested in coming to this area to see the dark skies. So we've had dark sky events out at a couple different places, but out at the ranch, for example. And we're going to have some other places around as well that we're going to suggest people to go to. And then hopefully eventually, have concrete for telescopes and, more places for those. So what I have is a letter, and it's just a community letter of support. And so one of the things that the Dark Sky International would like is to know that the people in the community actually want this. So if you're interested in having this in this area, I'll leave this in the back for people if you want to sign it, or if you want to find out more about it, come talk to me afterwards, or if you want to find out about the April 25th event, come talk to me as well. Any questions?
Questions from the board?
Yes. Michelle Brown, can you leave one of the letters here?
Yes.
Have you signed?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you both. Next informational item, receive a report from Kelly Lear, Southern Clark County Coordinator with UNR Extension regarding the status of programs and upcoming activities.
I think the trick is to get close to this thing. Can you hear me better?
Yes.
Okay. I left the March Healthy Aging and Living newsletter on the back. It's awesome. It's got recipes in it. It's got some health and nutrition items in it. I try and bring that every month for the community. Probably need to get Michelle some for the senior center as well. We're going to have another class for Bingo Size next week. So they liked it so much that I'm going to be coming back the second and the fourth Monday of every month through May. Obviously not the fourth Monday in May because that's Memorial Day. But they have fun. It's free. It's open to the public. So I'll keep coming on those Mondays and we'll get people active. And then Michelle and I are working on doing some kind of healthy living items and doing some crock pot ideas and some healthy soup initiatives and really trying to get the nutrition aspect into it. So I'm having fun, they're having fun, so I'll keep coming. We had to cancel our air rifle clinic here. And you'll never guess why. 50 mile an hour high wind warnings, and so apparently those pellets don't fly too well in the wind. So we're going to try again the first Saturday in April for that. I just wanted to say, friends of Avikwame, how do you say it? Avikwame?
Yeah, Avikwame.
Okay. So we did come out. We came out the week after your Junior Ranger day, and I think we should coordinate that better and so that our kids could come out. And it was phenomenal. The kids had such a good time in February. There were four little ones, and they were looking for the walking box symbol everywhere, and we did the tour, and they're just ecstatic about having history in their own backyard, and so anything that we can do with those kids to bring them back out to the ranch, I'll let you by card.
Just want to compliment the children, Ron, who gave that tour. He said that was like the best tour he's ever given, the most like engaged, and like them spotting those little symbols. Like
Ron dresses up like a cowboy. And so the kids just thought that was great. I think they thought they were part of the film. it was good. And I love taking them out to different parts. And so then the whole description of Spirit Mountain and just being out there to see all the desert landscape, it was phenomenal. So I hope we can work that out better. If it's Junior Ranger Day and you're looking for numbers, we're going to help you out with that. Devin, the principal told you she's still doing that 4-H at the school. So she's at Reed Elementary on Wednesday afternoon. So she's here in the morning in town through the afternoon with the kids. And then I come in the evenings usually for this meeting. She also has Friday mornings from 8 to 8:45 with the actual 4-H kids. So it's not in school. It's with Tyler in the library. And it's a healthy meat curriculum. And so it's health and nutrition and exercise. They love it. They're coming. We're going to keep doing it. I have 4-H Friday with the Searchlight teens, junior high and high school. Not a huge turnout. Some days I get two, some days I get four, but I'm going to keep coming because those two and four kids are depending on me and we're having a good time. We're looking for geocaches, we're playing pickleball this Friday. Another mistake of mine is I was going to do basketball clinic. And I was going to do it on the basketball courts this Friday until 5:30, until I talked with Mark and the rest of Clark County who's doing this really fun movie night.
You can still do it until
5:30. No, that's okay.
We'll just take you out at 5:31.
We're going to go do a little golf on the field. I'm going to show him some outdoor. I'm trying to get him outside. So we're going to do some outdoor events, and then we'll do basketball another time. I'm going to keep trying. And then Friday next week is spring break. So if you see kids out and about, don't call the truant officer. They have spring break next week. And next Friday, I'm doing a volleyball clinic. And of course, it's going to be 95, 97 when I'm outside and I'm on the sand courts out at Laughlin, where the Boys and Girls Club is. And so I did invite some of the kids from Searchlight. So if they want to hop in the truck and come down, we're going to try to get them moving during spring break and get them away from their iPads and the TV. UNR Extension has Professor M.L. Robinson coming to the Laughlin Library on March 21st. He will be presenting on native and native-like plants. There's a flyer in the back. And he's a hoot. He's with our horticulture department. It's free. It's open to the public. The Laughlin Library is awesome. They always open up their doors for us. And his presentations are always worth your while for the drive. So I hope to see you there. I still have radon kits. If anybody's interested, it's no problem for me, the plug-in one or the little tray. So I still have some of the trays from the years past. And you just send those in, postage is already paid. Or if you want to use the ones that Melissa, I left them for her last time, you plug it in, you get a digital reading, super easy to use. And there's no cost to it, it's just through my office, just let me know and I can drop it off at the library for you to pick up with the paperwork. You just kind of have to, you know, sign it. I'm gonna borrow it for 2 weeks and bring it back. So just coordinate with me. I can leave cards in the back as well. UNR's Health and Nutrition Department is working with me on an idea for Searchlight. And it is an idea. I have so many things going on in my brain, probably ADHD, but it helps the kids out a little bit because I have so many ideas. But they're mobile produce boxes that will be brought into the state from Arizona farms, small farms. And I'm working with the horticulture specialists and health and nutrition. They're all different departments at UNR Extension, not to confuse you, because I'm more kid-oriented and 4-H. But they're really trying to help me fund this venture because they're going to sell the produce boxes. We're a food desert, obviously. We don't have a lot of produce. We know that. The pantry's been asking for fresh produce. The pink bus just doesn't seem to be enough. It's nice. It's a nice addition. But I would really like to have fresh produce coming through here weekly for you all. So I would like to get this grant going and fund it for the first year so you can actually see it and see what's coming through in these 9-pound produce bins. I mean, if it's 9 pounds of cantaloupe, you might get two. So that's, I want to see it, I want you to see it, and then see if it's something that we're interested in. But I have worked on a grant for that, and I'm also going to use my budget. I'd like to work it into the curriculum. So if Michelle and I can use that fresh produce after bingo size and have it work into some type of nutritional aspect and with the kids in healthy need, then that's a way I can write it into my budget. So just consider that if you see flyers that I'm really trying to bring that in and I want y'all to sample it. So I'll keep you updated. It's hypothetical. Integrating fresh food, educating on the use of it is all part of my goal for the year of 2026. And UNR Extension kind of pushes that. So that's what I'm going to be working on. Just so you know, that's what populates in my head in the middle of the night. And so it's an idea. And so I'm working through it. So any questions for me on my babble?
Question from the board?
Yes.
I do have a question. Yes. Can everybody hear me okay?
I can hear you.
The big grant that you're writing for the Fresh Produce Weekly to get into Searchlight, is that a federal grant or a state grant?
It is a federal grant. It's through agriculture.
Okay, thank
you.
Okay.
Yep, and I have help with my grant writers. Thank you. So we're working on that, and I'll probably get word in the next month or two. But they were going to start this delivery coming from the Kingman area and coming through, having a drop-off site in Laughlin, in Calnavari, and Searchlight on their way to the farms in North Las Vegas, and then return with other produce from North Las Vegas. And so Mark knows, so he's probably tired of hearing me say this, but we have leased a new building in Laughlin through Clark County, and it's right at Casino Center. And so my idea is when that they come through, that we can facilitate the refrigeration of those produce boxes for the Laughlin residents, and they could come to that office, and that somehow I could work out something with Calnavari for a drop-off time, and then here with Michelle because she has the pantry for here for a drop-off time. I don't think it'll be too difficult. I think because she's open or her pantry's open, that I could probably coordinate it with those times. But fresh produce, that's my goal. Just cross my fingers. Anybody else?
Board members?
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Is there someone from the library tonight? Move on to the next item. Receive a report from Parks and Recreation regarding the status of programs and upcoming events. Do you have a representative? And Kyle Myers is not here this evening for the current road and public works concerns.
I can give a quick update on that. Kyle and I actually did a walkthrough on Cottonwood Cove. We did it, I want to say, maybe a week ago. So we drove it down and up. So I took some notes. We're going to send out to Public Works. I know the sign at the beginning of Cottonwood Cove is like kind of tilted. I've got that one in the queue to get that fixed, and then just maybe some sign maintenance and stuff like that. So it was a good drive. Yes.
On your list, were the white lines coming up the side of the road between California Street and here? They're not there anymore.
Okay, perfect. I'll make sure it's on our list. Thank you.
Sorry, I got sorry. Next item, planning and zoning. I don't see the Bensons. Oh, here, there. Sorry. Yes. WS 260048 Benson Family Trust and Benson Dennis W. Pamela. Trust, waivers of development standards for the following: eliminate street landscaping, eliminate parking area landscaping, waive full off-site improvements, and alternative driveway geometrics. Design review for a proposed parking lot on 0.43 acres in a general commercial zone, generally located south of Hobson Street and east of US 95 South within Searchlight for possible action to the BCC on 4-8-2026. Yes.
Hi, my name is Joey Blanco, Las Vegas Civil Engineering, and I'm here on behalf of the applicant. My address is 2251 Wilderand Park Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada. This particular site is like a leftover staging site for when NDOT did the improvements on 95. As a matter of fact, that's how it got paved. Again, it was a staging area so that they could complete their improvements on 95. And so what remains is basically this paved area. And so that happened when the original owner had it. Now it's transferred to a new owner, and what they want to do, they just want to keep the paving because it acts as a great dust palliative. They're not trying to put in a parking lot or anything like that, but they're very restricted on how they can submit an application under the Title 30. There's really not an avenue within the Title 30 that says, okay, when it's an NDOT staging yard and it's left over, here, do this. It does. The Title 30 doesn't work like that. The closest fit that there was a application for a parking lot. And so what we tried to do is make that condition fit the criteria in Title 30 in hopes that when we got in front of you, you could see that it's just a paved area. And so in the end, there's a lot of criteria that staff is imposing, but that's being imposed because it's a parking lot application. But in the end, the applicant just wants to leave the asphalt in place. They have no intention on using it as a parking lot, but it's a great dust palliative, and it's a great interim condition until permanent development arrives. And so given that, we ask for your approval under that scenario.
And then this is the parking lot across Highway 95.
I have a map, may I approach? I'll show it to you.
Yeah, just for the people here. That's across from the boat facility, is that correct?
I don't know, I'm not from here.
Okay.
I know generally where it is. It's the southeast corner of Hobson and US 95. I'll hold up a map so everybody can kind of see it. This is kind of where it's generally located, if you guys know your area pretty well. And this is kind of what it looks like. It's just a half acre that's pretty much paved next to the US 95 in Hobson. You guys want to see this?
Here's generally where it's at.
And then what's going to be done, like if you left it the way it is, what would be done with that site?
Zero. They're not proposing any development. They're not proposing anything. They don't want to have to go through the expense of removing the pavement. And since the pavement acts as a great dust palliative, they thought, well, let's just ask them if we can leave it without having any, you know, waiver of development standards or conditions imposed on us. And if everybody's acceptable to that, we'll just leave it the way it is.
Yes.
Was that originally get a permit? Did the other people have a permit to put that in? I don't believe they did.
No, and that was.
I believe there's an open case against that property because they never got the permit to grade it.
Yeah, and that was the problem, and I think that's why the previous owner had to sell it because of that problem, yes. Comments from the board?
And some of the other things in the application also mentioned that there's no proposed trash enclosures, and it's poorly located, and the application specifically says that it is for a small vehicle parking lot.
Again, those are the only options you have with Title 30. Again, there's not an avenue in Title 30 that says, hey, when NDOT builds a freeway and they use this for a staging site, you know, what application can I submit? That's not an option.
Right, but the problem is that there's nothing, if we okay this, there's nothing stopping them from using it as a parking lot. And if they don't plan to do anything with it, then it just sits there as this eyesore paved area that no one does anything with.
If I may, you're exactly right. But at the end of the day, is it better to remove the pavement and just have it raw land, or is it better to have it paved as a dust palliative? It's safe as it is right now, and that's what it's functioning as, a dust palliative. And so at the end of the day, it is one better than the other, and that's what we're here asking.
I would say my thought is it's better to be what it would be in nature. Things are going to grow on it and decrease the dust naturally versus having a parking lot that sits out there with pavement that's going to crack over time and just looks bad. But that's my personal
Any comments from the public? Can you step up to the mic just for the record, please? You can pull it down. You won't hear it.
Yvonne Bailey, 376 East Encinitas Searchlight. My concern is with this, is it wasn't done properly to begin with. And if you go by there, they're already using it as a parking lot. I see trucks there, I see cars there. We don't want that there. I'd rather have the dirt there, and if somebody wants to come around and build something on it, then let them do that. But to leave that like this with the asphalt, I guarantee you, it's going to end up something we don't want. So that's my.
All right, thank you. Yes, Michelle.
Michelle Brown, 245 East Gatlin Street, Searchlight. I just want to
kind of get facts in order. Before Las Vegas Paving came to do the road, that property was already asphalted. It was asphalted long before when the first owners had it. They wanted to make some kind of to park semi-trucks there and work on them. And they got in trouble with the county because there was no access from 95 onto that property, plus they paved it without any permits. So I just think that we need to get some facts straight and make a decision on that. And so they're right, there is still an open case with Clark County because of the way back original people who didn't do it right. On my property, if I don't do something right, I have to fix it.
Right.
Or the county comes after me and I get fined. I have to get permits just like everybody else. And I think, unfortunately, when you buy property, you should do due diligence and make sure that there's nothing on that property that is going to cause you heartache after you own it.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Board. I agree with some of the comments about the permitting process 100%. On the other hand, too, there was a lot of dust created there. I'm a little perplexed on this one. I don't want it to become a parking lot and just have abandoned vehicles or gradually more boats appear out of nowhere and go over there, like what's happened across the street at the boat shop. I've noticed some of those boats are now in other people's yards. And the lot behind is now supposedly have this privacy area in there that's completely thrashed by the wind. So I'm a little concerned about the long-term viability of that land the way it is right now. So go ahead.
Just responding to the permit issue, this is just the first step in the process. The property owner will still have to go through and obtain permits. So it's not like they don't have to do that. This is just the first step that precedes that. So again, they do this first, and if this gets approved, then they have to go and get permits, just like the young lady said that looked after me. So that's still a step that has to be done after this.
I got a question.
Can you go to the
to
the mic, please? Go to the mic, please. Thank you.
No, I'm going to ask him his name.
Thanks, Bailey, 376 in Sanitas. My question is, you're saying it's going to be used for parking. What's going to be parked there? Or is it going to become a storage area like we had down the street that took us 3 years to get rid of because it was an eyesore?
Yeah, and we haven't had a problem with that. People, and it's not just the one down the street there. I think it was on Main Street. And it take a long time to get them out. It really does. It's not like the county comes in and says you need to get it out, and then in a couple weeks it's gone. That was going on for many, many months, years really. And then all those boats I've seen dumped all along in California, Nipton Road, all along in there. And we certainly don't want anything like that happening, so that is a big concern.
I would say when something like that happens, they have to get a business license in order to do that. These people aren't proposing to get a business license. They're just proposing to leave the pavement there as a dust pallet. There's no intent on using the property again. They filed the parking lot application because that was the closest representative example within Title 30 that allowed. Again, we couldn't go in there and say, okay, well, it's left over from a highway project. There wasn't an opportunity for that. There was no dust palliative application. There was no surface or anything like that. The closest representative application process within Title 30 was a parking lot, and so that's why that was chosen.
Yes, Max. Microphone.
It wasn't left over from a parking the parking lot was leased to the company to put their equipment there after that was been there for a long while.
Yeah.
So the story is telling us it's not what happened. It's not what we saw living here.
I'm not challenging that. I'm sharing what I was informed. Yeah, I'm not from here. I've come here under the instructions I already have.
And if I remember correctly, too, when NDOT was using that, correct me if I'm wrong, there wasn't a permit initially for them to be there from the owner of that land, which is the Benson Trust.
Well, they didn't have a permit from the county. That was my understanding. And so when they paved it illegally, and that was the catalyst for the code enforcement violation. And so that's what we're...
Well, my understanding, too, is later also they didn't have a permit for NDOT to store that equipment there right away. They finally
got... That could be true, too.
They did get one, but it's because people complained. So. So do we want to make a motion to vote yay or nay on this? Have a motion to approve?
I'm actually going to deny. I'm going to go with the staff's recommendation, which is denial. So I'm not going to disagree with the staff.
Okay.
I agree with Natalie. I'm going with the staff recommendation as well.
Okay. Well, let's take a formal vote. All in favor of, how do we vote on this? Yay or nay? To support.
You say there's a motion for denial of this.
So a motion for denial of this.
You could just say WS.
Let me read that again. Sorry. Thank you, Mark. So there's a motion to deny the WS 260048 Benson Family Trust and Benson Dennis and Pamela Trust waivers of development standards for this property. All in favor of denying the motion for denying this, let's take a vote on this. I'm going to say no, I'm not in favor of this. So all in favor of no, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, aye.
Okay, aye. All right, aye. Motion passed to deny this permit.
So denial with a vote of 3-0.
Yeah, denial of a vote of 3-0.
Do you have the map?
Thank you. All right, next item, comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. Comments limited to 3 minutes. Step up to the speaker's podium, if applicable, clearly state your name and address. Spell your last name for the sake of the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the board chair or by board majority vote. Yes.
Judge Chris Jeter, First Light Justice Court. On Saturday, March 14th, I'm hosting a CCW course. It's going to be at the Senior Center, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. That'll be the educational portion, and from there it's going out to the Lucky Desmond Mine, which is a shooting range that Metro is contracted at. During that time, we're going to have Aaron Contreras, who was a range instructor with Metro, come in, and also several Metro police officers will be there just for the safety purposes. The fee for that is $100 for him to come out here. It's his company, not mine. I'm just hosting it, trying to bring more people. I was asked about this as far as hosting the CCW course, which I said I would do that. So we finally got it on. So it's $100 just for the course. It's going to cost you $99 for a Metro background check. Hopefully, I could do two of these a year. Right now, we have between 15 and 20 people, which is really ideal for that right there. So hope you guys come out. I had a sign-up sheet at the courthouse, but I know people are going to walk in, so that's okay, too, as well. But I think this goes a long way when you say that, hey, you know, me personally, as a police officer, a retired police officer, you would never, ever know if I had a gun on me. You would never know. And I thought that was a reason because it's about the element of surprise. And not having someone take the weapon off of you because somebody wants to show off that they have a gun, okay? So take that into consideration. It's welcome to everybody, as long as you're able to carry a firearm, as long as you're able to shoot a firearm. So if you're that person that's been prohibited, please do not come out. I think that's, like I said, please don't come out for that. But it's going to be a great course, and like I said before, hope you do two or more a year. 20 people is ideal for safety concerns. So hope I see you out there. Any questions?
All right, thanks, Chris. Any other public comments?
Again, my name is Ashley Walden, and I'll spell that for you for the record. It's A-Y-E-S-H-U-A. Last name is Walden, W-A-L-D-E-N. And my address is 5030 Jeffrey Street, Unit 100, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89119. I am a new face here. I am the campaign manager for Terrell Robinson. He is running for Congress District 3. Searchlight is in District 3. It's this gentleman right here. The reason why I'm up here to talk to you folks here is that Terrell and I have had the privilege to come out on a couple of occasions here and get to know the town of Searchlight. And talking to the folks here, many of you have commented, you know, the speeding problem that you have on the highway here, and I can say you have probably seen my little gold Passat, and I know that some of those trucks are like pushing me down the road like I'm standing still, and I'm thinking, man, where's the fire? So anyways, I did some research here, and because Terrell is, you know, wanting to go into Congress, defeat Susie Lee here, I thought, you know what, let's see what we can do, because if you're going to be in Congress, this is your job. That's why you're running, and I am not, but I will be your spokesperson. So, anyways, did some research. Yes, this is a federal highway out here. Therefore, it falls under federal funds. Now, you guys, because it's a federal highway, you cannot do any kind of speed bumps or speed humps or whatever people are calling those today. But you can do roundabouts. Now, depending on the size of a roundabout, I know, I'm not a fan of the roundabout. We've got a solution, all right? So hear me out, please, okay? I am not a fan of roundabouts, okay? I am not. But it will slow them down. That is for sure. Yes, sir. Yes. Okay, you see an 18-wheeler doing a round? Yeah, go, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys would be like, oh man, you bureaucrats came up here, we did roundabouts, and now we've got all this traffic because we've got all these wrecks and everything, and oh man, and then we have to take the roundabouts out. But anyways, let me just talk about the roundabouts, okay? And again, they're going to be anywhere from $300,000 to $3 million, depending on how much a roundabout, how big a roundabout's going to be. But I have worked in small towns before, and this is something that I have seen. And you would have to talk with your local law enforcement, which have already left conveniently. You did not hear me say that. Take that off the record. But I have been in small towns before where they have had the same problem and the same complaint, and they had more than 60 traffic citations, okay? So what they did, because they were on a budget, they got with their local law enforcement, and they parked one car at one end of the main through on the town, and another one at the very end. And then they got creative because, I mean, that's boring. I wouldn't want to sit out there all day long, you know. But what they did is they got very, very creative, and they did a cardboard cutout of an officer and put it behind the wheel. And that did, the locals knew that it was just empty cars, but the tourists coming through there did not. And boy,
You've kind of gone over your 3-minute mark.
I'm so sorry.
Does the board want to have
Absolutely. So that would be something you would have to look at. You would have to, you know, obviously, talk with your local, get with your local law enforcement and see if you guys can work out something like that. Or you might want to install some cameras as well.
Okay, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other comments from the public? I do want to say there will be a community Easter service, sunrise service at the Senior Center. April 5th is Easter this year, I believe, and it'll be at 6 a.m. I know that's early for some. Other people are up at 4:30, like myself. I don't know why, as I get older, at 4:30 is like, why am I awake? You know, I like to used to sleep until 10, but here we are. So I encourage everyone to come out. It's interdenominational. It'll be the fourth year we've had this, and it's a good outreach to the community, and also it's a potluck, so if you decide to come, please bring some eats. Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Okay, our next meeting date is April 15th, tax day, 2026. The meeting is adjourned.